he asked me, wasn't I going to be looking for a bigger church? And I said, I'm only looking for the one that the Lord wants me at. And I stayed there 33 years, and I thought that was pretty good. But our pastor's, he's got lots of grit. He's tough. He can take back surgeries and hip surgeries and keep on plowing, and I just love him to death. And I'm thankful tonight that he would let me fill his pulpit. And I know tonight that we're going to have choir practice after the service, so I'm going to do my best. I made myself a little note. Be quick. So I'm planning on that. Jeremiah chapter number 2, if you'd turn there. I recognize that time's important, and we got working men here tonight. Boy, I'm sure glad all y'all come. It'd be a lonely place tonight if y'all hadn't showed up. So I do want to be careful about time. You know, I graduated high school in 1969. That was back before the turn. I was thinking as I was studying, I can remember faces of a lot of people, but the old timers would say when they met you, they'd say, I know who you are, but I can't call your name. That was a way for them to get out of saying they just couldn't remember who you were. And I have that problem with a lot of folks. Now, Mary Ellen, on the other hand, she remembers everybody from high school, where they lived, what classes they were in, and all of that stuff. I tried to remember as little as I could and just get out. That's what I wanted to do. But you know, there are people that you want to remember that are important to you, and you want to remember them. And of course, you know, I'm thinking of family members you want to remember. I can remember one of my aunts that I wish I could forget, but I can't. And then I've got another aunt. You know, boy, she was such a blessing. She could cook breakfast for a whole block of people, and all the eggs were the same, and they all were hot when you got them. I can remember those things because I want to. That's why we remember things. It's because we want to. It's not because we're gifted or we have to or anything like that. I remember them talking about people could remember. They had a photographic memory and all that stuff. They want to remember things, I think. Anyway, Jeremiah chapter 2. Did y'all find your place yet? I want to just read this one verse, and then I'm going to get right to it. The Bible says in verse 32, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. That's quite a statement. I understand this about God. Our Heavenly Father would never just allow us to get to the point where we didn't love Him anymore without Him putting a lot of effort in retaining our love. Do you understand what I'm saying? If somebody I really love decides that they don't love me like I love them, buddy, I'm going to put some effort in heaven to make sure they love me. My granddaughter sends me a snap every night and every morning. Now, I have seen where she works 1,000 times. I really don't care about a dentist's office. I don't care to see the chair. I don't care to see all them tools they ram down in your mouth. I don't want to see all that. But she sends it. So I always say something nice. She'll send me a picture, and she's got her glasses on, and she's got her little hat thing on, and her mask on, and her clothes that they wear. You can't see nothing but her eyeballs. and I'll tell her how pretty she is. I'd go to great efforts for her to love me. Now the boys, I don't tell them they're handsome or pretty or anything. I'll tell them they need a haircut, or something goofy like that. But God, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He said that to the church of Laodicea. So God loves us, and he wants to continue to have our love toward him. So this portion of Scripture, it says that these folks have forgotten God. Now, I know that you folks have read the book of Jeremiah a number of times. You heard preaching from it. And we know that the children of Israel, they've gotten in trouble again. And they're fixing to get a whooping again. And then we come to this portion of Scripture that Jeremiah has been told to tell them. The Bible says in the beginning of chapter 2 that he's to go and cry aloud in verse number 2 in the ears of Jerusalem saying, and all of this is part of what he says. But I'm thinking tonight about the object of their forgetfulness. How do you forget the God that stepped out on nothing and spoke the worlds into existence? How do you forget the God that set the stars in the heavens? How do you forget the God that put that bubbling little creek down through that little valley in the woods that you get to put your feet off in during the daytime and see the butterflies go by and hear the birds sing? How do you forget that God? How do you forget the God that saved your soul, that helped you miss hell and gain heaven? How do you forget the God that woke you up this morning? How do you forget the God that puts your breath in you moment by moment? How do you forget the God that makes your heart beat? The object of their forgetfulness is the God of glory. The object of their forgetfulness is the God that holds the worlds in the palm of his hand. Last night, I don't know what was going on last night, but I woke up early in the morning of the night, and it sounded like the whole world was rushing by our bedroom window. It was making so much of a racket outside, I was trying to imagine, what in the world is that? I got up, and I went and looked out the windows, and man, the trees were bending over, and their limbs were flopping around, and I'm thinking, Lord, God, if you don't protect us tonight, we're liable to wind up in Oz. How do you forget the God that protects you day by day, by moment and moment? Do you remember when you got saved? If you could forget God, you could forget you got saved. Peter said you could. In the book of Peter, it says our conscience gets seared with a hot iron and we forget we've even been saved. How in the world does that happen to us? The object of our forgetfulness, the God of glory, the God that loves me more than his only son, that he sent to the cross of Calvary to pay for my sin. How do you forget him? They did. The object of their forgetfulness. Psalm 91:1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How do you forget him? The Creator, our Savior, the Redeemer, our Friend, the Sanctifier, the Justifier, our Peace, our Joy, our Hope, our Counselor, and he's our confidant. He's the one that you can tell the darkest, deepest, most severe sin that you've ever committed to, and he'll still love you. How do you forget him? And then the Bible says this. It talks about those that do forget. You know, it's one thing to pass somebody on the street and at the end of the day, they can't remember that they passed you on the street. But when it's your own people, it was my people. You see, these are the Jews he's talking about. These are the ones that he delivered to the promised land. These are the ones that he delivered out of Egyptian bondage. These are the ones that he led them through the desert. He led them through the pits and the snags and the crags and the desert where there was no food, where it was not sown. And this is the God that they've forgotten, the one that fed them the manna daily. It's his people. It's his chosen people that have forgotten him. And that would be like having your children forget you. You know, that does happen. We meet them all the time over at the Meadows or over at the Oaks where their family has brought them there and left them there, and there they are. I used to ask them. I don't ask anymore because I don't want to hear the answer when I say, well, have you seen your children lately? And they say, no, they've not been here. Boy, it was a thrill to our soul the other day. We were there, and there's a fellow named Bruce. He's dying with, I think, liver cancer. Why, listen, Jameson's a heavyweight compared to Bruce. Bruce is, I don't know, I expect if he took his shirt off, you could see his heart pumping and his lungs inflate. He's pitiful. He's in great pain. He sits there and he moans while we're preaching. And this past Thursday night when the service was ended, two of his family members walked in the door and they helped him all the way back to his room. What a joy that was. Don't you know how painful it is to those old folks that are sitting there day in and day out? I asked one of them one time, what do you do here all day long? He said, well, I sit here and watch folks watch me watch them. How sad that is. No family member comes and spends any time with them, doesn't take them out to the buffet to get a meal. They just forget about them. They just forget about them. How horrible a sin it is to forget God. What an awful thing for us to forget God. And I would say to you today that we do it all the time. To forget God. It doesn't say how long they forgot him here in the sense of a moment or of that, but it says for many days. They just forgot him. They didn't forget a stranger. They didn't forget the heathens. They hadn't forgotten ignorant folks. But it's the chosen of God. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. You folks are the backbone of the church. You folks are the folks that are here no matter what. Y'all come no matter how bad the preaching is or how bad the singing is or how bad the weather is or how bad this is. But I'm telling you that the vast majority of us are guilty of forgetting God. Could I tell you tonight that I forget him? I forget him. When I was in my hideout, just me, Mary Ellen was down below and she was listening to her music. I'm up there and I'm reading the book of Jeremiah and I came across that verse and I said, oh Lord, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of forgetting you. Then there is the thing about time here. He said they had forgotten days without number. How long have you gone without realizing that you've forgotten God? How many decisions and choices do we make and not even consider what God has to say? How many times have you picked up God's Word, God's Holy Writ? How many times have you picked it up and said, well, I'm going to read my Bible today like I do every day, and you begin to read, and you never ask God to show me Him in His Word? I'm guilty. The time. I wish that it weren't true of us, but I know it's true of me. How long have you gone without that intimate time with the Lord Jesus Christ? I was talking to somebody the other day. I don't remember who it was. I believe it was Brother Rick, and we were talking about he travels from home to do his business. And what a blessed time that is when you get to drive alone, Brother James, with nobody else around but you and God. And you get to spend an hour or two. They call it work, but it's really joy. You probably should pray, Brother Ben, for that privilege, you know. Well, don't go that far. But how long can you go without remembering Him or forgetting God? You see, the devil, he puts all kind of distractions in front of us. And the purpose of that distraction is for us to neglect to remember Him. I thought about what would be the indications of my forgetfulness of God. Just a few things. I'll hit them and I'll run right on, I promise. But I would think that if I forgot God for just a little while, my joy would be depleted. If I forget God, if I can forget God, if I can forget God, then that means that my prayer life is not really a prayer life, because if I was really talking to God, how could I forget God? But we do. We say our prayer, you know, I forgot how it goes. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. We taught our kids to say that prayer. But I'm talking about adults. We go through our prayer without God being present in our prayer. If I forget God, I think it affects my attitude. I think it affects my relationship with my wife. I think it affects my relationship with my church. And I know it affects my relationship with Him. Doesn't mean I'm lost again, but it means that fellowship is broken. And if it's broken for any length of time, that's terrible. It's a horrible sin for us that have been born again to forget God and allow us to forget Him and lose that intimacy of fellowship with Him. It's a horrible sin. If I preached about some other awful worldliness, everybody joins in with the preacher. But when we preach about our personal sin of forgetting God, oh man, you understand I'm a horrible sinner because I forget Him. I can't point the finger at anybody else when it's me. Now, we say things like this. It was just a little white lie. When we're talking about lying. What are we going to say about forgetting God? I just forgot Him for a moment. I just forgot Him for an hour. I just forgot Him for a day. I just forgot Him for a week. I just forgot Him for a month. How are we going to categorize our forgetfulness of God when we stand before God? And then there's these questions. I was talking with Brother Dean before church. He said, how are we going to translate this? Well, I don't know, but I want to watch. The Bible asked this question before we got to the latter part of the text. Can a maid forget her ornaments? I reckon she's doing pretty good at that, huh? And then it says, or a bride, her attire. That's a flaying, if you understand the term, question. When I read that with the last part of this verse, it cut me to the quick. I sat in my study and I wept because God had taken the surgical word of God and He'd cut me deep into the joints and the marrow of my bone, and I was seeing myself as God sees me, guilty of forgetting Him. Now think about this. That question is asked to Eastern women, not to Western women. So you ladies are in the clear. But Eastern women, they love jewels and bangles and things. They just absolutely love them. I've got to hurry. Isaiah chapter number 3, verse 18. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their calls and their round trees like the moon, their chains, the bracelets, the mufflers, the bonnets, and the ornaments of the legs, the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and the nose jewels. Wow. The changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples. I don't know what a wimple is. And the crisping pins and the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And I'm thinking, wow, that looks, sounds just like Memphis. Or downtown Jackson. Or the ballpark. Or anywhere else we go. I want to say that really, knowing who it's talking about, it just reflects on us, and it's really impossible to even consider that a maiden would forget her ornaments or that a bride would forget her attire. I mean, if that were true, then the bridal shops would go slap out of business. See how she translates slap out of business. I'm trying to correct my English some and my language so it makes it easier. But how impossible does that sound that a maid would forget her ornaments or that a bride would forget her attire? You understand how impossible it is for a born-again, blood-bought child of the King to forget Him? That's what God's saying to us. It's impossible, but it happens. In our society, it's unheard of. I mean, it's totally unreasonable that it would even happen. If that were true, then Walmart could get rid of all of that junk jewelry that they got right up there when you walk in. Just wipe it out. It's unseasonable, too. Have you ever known a time of the year when women didn't dress with ear bobs, necklaces, rings, bracelets? Well, I've seen some women, they actually put their bracelet down on their ankle. I mean, it's, and they do it 365 days a year. There's never a time when they don't. I mean, is there a season when it's okay to forget God? Is there any reason for us to forget God? It's a horrible sin. It's a horrible sin. Job 29:14 says this. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. You need to remember who you are. I need to remember who I am. I've been bought by the King. I'm no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. I'm His. He's wrapped me. He's adorned me. How could I forget Him? Ephesians 1:4 says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. I'm talking about me forgetting God. How unreasonable it is. How unseasonable it is. How impossible it should be for us to forget God. And yet I know I have. I know I'm guilty. I've already talked to the Lord about my guilt. I purpose not to forget Him again. And I'm fearful that I will, because I know my flesh and it's desperately wicked. I don't want to. But I remember Paul said something about the things that he would, he didn't, and the things that he wouldn't, he did. Something in that order. So I'm fearful of forgetting God. I wonder tonight, can I forget Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, the only begotten? Can I forget Him? The Savior, Redeemer, Deliverer, Justifier. Can I forget Him? If I can, I would speculate that you can. And I know I have. And I would speculate that maybe you have. If you would, stand to your feet, please. And I'd ask you to bow your head while